set, put it on.
Yeah.
Water just kept that flashing.
Okay, it seems like they have a little bit more of a delay, and we do have a quorum, so we will go forward and at least start with the Coastal Community Overlay District reviews, because those are really straightforward, and hopefully we'll get our other members here in time for everyone else who's looking for a review. So first on our agenda, well, actually, let's start for the recording by saying this is a meeting of the South Kingstown Technical Review Committee. The date today is Wednesday, September 19th. First on our agenda, we have approval of the minutes from August 15th, 2018. Maybe we wait on those.
Motion approved.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Up next, we have Coastal Community Overlay District review for Roy Carpenter's Beach, Row 6E, Cottage 3. This is a request to construct a 6-foot by 13-foot addition to an existing cottage to replace an existing bathroom that measures approximately 4.5 feet by 8.25 feet on AP 92-1, Lot 9. Connie Slick is our owner and applicant. Do we have anyone here for the applicant? If you want, you can come up to the table if you guys would. Bear and all, we'll bring everybody. How are you this morning?
Good.
Do you want to state your name for our record?
Sure, Amy Sarrow. I'm Connie Slick's daughter.
Great.
Who's that?
This is Lila Sarrow and Teddy.
Thank you.
You brought her just to get easy approval.
Oh, that's either that or she'll start crying because it's nap time.
I would have liked to have seen a better drawing. Like if the construction company they mentioned, I don't know them, but I would be curious to see what drawings they would be working from.
Just the questions I had was relative to the ISDS or the septic system. What are you currently on?
So currently it's a toilet that doesn't have, it's like an incinerator toilet, so it doesn't have septic.
Okay. And that, what will be the plans after?
I believe that they're keeping the same toilet.
Do you have a generator in case power goes off and it can be dealt with?
The cottage on there, I don't think that they...
Yeah, it's not year-round anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not something. It's just a seasonal.
All right. Cool.
And the actual, in regard to the drawing, it will look as it does currently, just the entrance is from the back, and so what they want to do is close that off and make the entrance from the inside. So they're not going to be changing any electrical or anything.
Is it decreasing the size to the neighboring property?
On the distance between?
Yeah.
It does say in there that there was verbal consent on it. I have to look at the layout.
It looked like it potentially was by, it looked like it potentially was. I assume this section is decreasing the size.
Right, yeah, so what the applicant had described to me is that these existing stairs on the site plan here, basically they're squaring up things to the existing footprint of the stairs there.
Yeah.
And so they had added this note, right, saying same distance to the neighbors as 9 because they're basically just squaring out where it used to extend for the stairs to now just have it enclosed.
Are the stairs exterior or interior now?
Exterior.
What is the distance? I don't have the...
It's 9 feet.
Or will be 9 feet, yeah, or 9 feet from the stairs now.
Mm-hmm.
So just a general question. In the decrease the size of the neighboring property, do you get an advisory from the either fire chief or... Anyone a local official?
We don't typically.
What was that? I couldn't hear.
If they decrease the separation between the buildings, do you need an advisory opinion from the fire
or another official?
That falls particularly under the building code. So, and the 15 feet is, I'm not sure where that came from, because in the building code, 5 feet is the number. 5 feet and less is where fire ratings and opening protections or limitations on openings come into play. So,
yeah, Joe, we've had a question on this section of the ordinance for a little while about, you know, it says shall not reduce less than 15 feet, but we don't, it says 15 foot fire separation. We've asked the chief where that sort of 15 fire separation comes from, and they don't know. So.
May have been like for make sure they maintain parking and some maybe distance, but we're not sure.
Why they called it fire separation?
Well, it's not required for fire.
No.
Doesn't seem to be applicable.
But in any event, the distance isn't changing in this case. It's still not.
Well, it's
from the exterior
to interior,
yeah,
so.
It's changing, it's changing which part of the building is on that plane.
So the bathroom is just a toilet in there, sink?
And a shower.
And a shower, and that's what's there now?
That's what's currently there, and that's what's going
to
stay there.
And was the shower go to dry well, or?
They have like a gray water system there. It goes to a septic system. But it's just for gray water, like shower water, kitchen sinks. So it's community septic.
Yeah.
But as long as it's already existing.
It is, yeah.
We're not.
There's a sink, there's a shower, and there's a toilet.
I guess my only comment would be that I think the drawing and the application should reflect that there's existing proposed toilet and that the same or a similar type would continue after that.
We could put that condition in the approval if that's,
okay.
Sure. If that's your plan anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that, you know, nothing, we don't deviate from that and you all don't find yourself in a situation where you have a plumbing toilet that's not going into a gray water system or something inappropriate going on.
Sure.
And what is the addition going to be?
It's really,
bedroom.
So all that it is, there's a bathroom there right now, but in order to get into the bathroom, you have to go outside and around the back and in the door. So what they're going to do is where the stairs are right now, so the actual footprint isn't going to change. Where the stairs are, they're going to square that off, keep the things that are there, but then make an entrance through the house so that you don't have to go to the outside. So really the addition is only going to be the distance of the stairs, but they're going to be redoing that.
Squaring it off.
Squaring it off, right.
And what's the rest of the squared off area?
The bathroom.
Oh, it's all going to be bathroom?
It is.
All right.
Yeah. Because it's only like a couple feet for the stairs.
Maybe for the note to reflect no additional bathroom fixtures.
Mm-hmm. That it'll have a toilet, a sink, and a shower.
It's whatever's there now, right?
Yeah, I probably want to see some existing conditions planned and then the proposed conditions because this doesn't really show a lot.
You mean like a floor plan?
Yeah, floor plan with fixtures so we know what was existing and that we're not adding anything.
So can we say that as part of the building permit, they would submit that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That way you can get your approval.
Great. So for the building permit to submit a plan of what's existing and then what's proposed.
Right. Mm-hmm. That way they can see that there's no change in the number of fixtures
or the type, right?
Great.
And you'll get a written approval from this committee and that will be specified in there so
perfect.
It won't be sort of on you to remember
Thank
to tell
you.
Them to do that.
Thanks. I just went through this with my house. We did an addition in Westerly, so I said, I'll be familiar with what I do.
Anything else on this one?
Okay. We have a motion.
Make a motion to approve with the conditions as discussed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Okay. Next on our agenda, we have another Coastal Community Overlay District review. This is at the Village at Potter's Pond. The address is 659 H Succotash Road. It's a request to construct a 6-foot by 16-foot addition to an existing cottage to enlarge a bedroom and install an inside shower and washer dryer. AP 87-4, lot 5-36, Charles T. Olivier is our owner and applicant.
Good morning.
If you'd start by just stating your name for our record.
I'm Kathleen Olivier. Good morning.
And I'm Charles Olivier.
Well, I know I just read the description, but perhaps you want to give us a little overview of what you're looking to do out here.
We want to expand to the west, 6 feet to the west. And the addition will follow the parallel to the existing west wall, 6 feet away from that wall, all the way back to where there's an existing outside shower. So the dimensions end up being 6 feet wide by 16 feet long. And it's just basically to expand an existing bedroom. We're not adding any bedrooms. We're not adding any bathrooms. And right now, we don't even have an inside shower. So it is seasonal, but it gets kind of cool in the spring and fall. So we've been there for over 10 years. We've always wanted an inside shower. But we didn't want to spend any money on it at the time because, well, we never owned the land back then. It was Waccamaw Park. And now everybody is improving their homes because we purchased the land 3 years ago, and now it's the village at Potter Pond. And there's been a lot of, you know, small improvements. People are really fixing up their houses, so we felt this was a good time to do it. So it's basically going to be adding a shower and a larger bedroom. We have 4 on-site wastewater treatment systems that we own there. I was pretty heavily involved in the installations, overseeing. I was on the board there. So if you have any questions on the septics, I can kind of address those too. But we're not adding any bedrooms. We have a one bedroom, and it's going to stay a one bedroom.
So the drawings look the same. I mean, I must have pushed this out. Does the bathroom push out as well, or?
You mean between existing and proposed? Yeah, what you see there, you probably don't notice it, is the existing shower is jutting out, and then the next one, it gets boxed off in the proposed.
So from this page. From this one to the next one, I think, is where you'll see it.
The drawing that I have is, okay, so it's what you have.
That's existing. Yeah.
Existing.
And so then see the difference. I'm using the outdoor shower, actually, as the way to see where the difference is.
Oh, okay, got it. I got it over here.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're doing. We're just making an L out of the bedroom there from the existing one.
So we can walk around the bed.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you look at the existing bed, it's jammed in between 3 walls, and she has to crawl over me to get in this side of the bed here. It's kind of, we've been living like that for 10 years, but it'd be really nice if we could get in on each side of the bed.
So I guess similar questions for the ISDS, because it looks like you're adding both a shower and washing machines, unless you have washing machines on.
No, there's no existing washing machines.
What are you going to be doing with the outside, current outside shower, believe it as it is?
Yeah, we're just not going to touch it. We're trying to do a least intrusive project. We're not touching anything existing, the bathroom, nothing. We're just going out to the side. The shower will stay there outside as well. We kind of like it where it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you use for an ISDS? Where does the water go now?
Right now, it goes gravity feed to a 1,000-gallon tank in the yard over here, and that services 2 other nearby cottages they gravity feed in. Then it goes into a forced main, and it gets sent up several hundred feet to the west side of the office building where the main entrance is.
Okay.
And then there's filtering systems there. And then further south in the park, we have other systems that service that part of the park.
So your shower and your washer and dryer tie into that?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I would just want to see some communication that additional fixtures are allowed, or the system can handle it, because you are increasing the flow.
Now, my understanding is the design of the septics is based on the number of bedrooms, not number of fixtures.
Well, maybe some communication, because you are adding the washer and dryer, so I'd want to see something either from the engineer who designed it or DEM, that the addition of the additional shower plus the washer and dryer is not going to impact the system, or that it's capable of.
Okay. Well, I don't want to deal with DEM if I don't have to. So how about the engineers were out of Westerly, and I have their numbers and stuff. So would you want a letter from?
Yeah, from some communication from them about this addition.
Okay. So so we won't be able to approve this today until we get the letter?
No, we'll make it a condition.
Okay.
Because you'll need the building permit after you receive the approval from this committee. Yeah. So in between the two, you would need to get that and submit it with the building permit.
Okay, so you're to address the shower and the washer dryer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I'll need an assent from CRMC for the construction proximity to the wetland or to the water feature.
Okay, but that won't be part of this.
No, but it'll be a condition
for the building permit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I expected that too. Okay. What's your experience on those CRMC assents? Do they usually go through? Or are they a big problem?
It really depends. I really wouldn't want to speak for them. I mean, I'm not sure how they've in the past how they've address these type of small additions. I mean, it is relatively small, so.
Do you have any experience? Have they approved any in the, that you know of in the overlay district?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure we've seen one that actually triggers CRMC review that we've caught at this committee. It might have been caught at building permits, but I don't have experience to speak to for it.
Okay. I'll put an exclamation point on that one because that's a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was late. My name's Rich Berger, the town engineer. Did we talk about the water and whether you have water present?
We did not talk about the water, and the answer is we do have water. When we put the new septic system in, we put in new water. The failure of Potter Pond spent just under $2 million, and all the old lines were taken out.
There was a limited number of units that actually were supplied with them, correct?
Well, we have 71 units in there, and there's one connection to Succotash Road water main. Comes in through 1 meter pit, and then it spreads out and feeds new fire hydrants and all the units in there.
Now, all of the units?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just a certain number.
No.
This is the village of Potter's Pond.
Oh, different.
Not Roy.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're all buried, you know, below the frost line. So now the water's left on year round now, and it's just shut off by the gate valve at each unit, and it's up to the owner of that unit if they want to leave it on or not.
All right.
You know. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions or thoughts around the table? All right. If not, I would accept a motion to approve with the two conditions discussed, being one regarding the communication from the engineer that the septic configuration doesn't need to change for those changes, and then the CRMC assent.
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
So I'll be getting a letter from this.
Yes, you will.
And it'll mention these two items on it, and then I don't have to address those until the permit application. Is that correct?
You want to do the CRMC one prior to.
Okay.
You need a document from me on that to submit your application.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Contact my office or stop down in the building.
To get the form for the postal? Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, next on our agenda, we have another coastal community overlay district. This is at Roy Carpenter's Beach. It's row 17E, Cottage 5. It's a request to remove an existing bathroom and utility shed and replace that with a 102 square foot addition, reconfigure the kitchen and bathroom. Replace an existing 18 square foot shed with a 24 square foot shed, and replace an existing 185 square foot deck with a 200 square foot deck. AP 92-1, lot 9-191. Patty Wingate is our owner and applicant.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would state your name for our record.
Oh, Patty Wingate.
I assumed as much, but just to be sure. So would you like to start, just give us a little overview of your plan changes to the cottage?
Yeah. Well, since now I have four grandchildren, I kind of needed to have a second bedroom. And on the existing plans on the left side where the hot water storage is and the bathroom, that really is falling down. So I figured so I wanted to again expand it. So it was the easiest way was to move the bathroom back to where that shed was, and then on part of the deck is to increase that to move the kitchen, and then where the bedroom was, where the kitchen was, I'm going to change that into my second bedroom. And then on the right-hand side where the existing pump shed was, I was going to increase that so that I could move the hot water tank over there. And then I was just going to change the configuration of the deck a little bit. So going from the 185 to the 200, and we made sure that we were 15 feet, you know, from each existing structure. And basically, I already have a compost toilet, so I'm going to be using that same toilet, moving that. So, any other?
What type of water do you have there?
What kind of water?
Yeah, is it on well or?
I have a well.
You do?
Yep.
All right, individual, just for
individual.
All right.
And that's what that side on the right is, where my pump is for my water.
All right. The one you're rebuilding, you're going to rebuild that pump shed?
Oh, that was there when I was there, so I have no idea.
But you're rebuilding it, though.
Oh, I'm just building around it. The pump will go right back. I'm going to put the hot water tank over there, too. It was on the left-hand side.
All right.
So I guess I'd actually ask the same sort of question. So the well is a gray water well, or is it a...
It's a gray... Is
potable water well, like, is it drinking water, or does it just provide like utility water?
It's usually utility water. They say not to drink it. Some people do.
Okay.
I usually I usually don't drink it. I use it. I use it for cooking and bathing, and mm-hmm. you know.
And then does your gray water, like your shower and kitchen wastewater, does correct. That go into a system?
Yes.
Into the gray
yep.
water system on the
correct.
Property?
Correct. Wayne, is that, are you Wayne? That's Wayne.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Patty, Linda's friend at work.
Oh, all right.
She told me to say hi.
Thanks.
All right, so it seems like we could take a motion to approve on this.
Rich, have a question.
Yeah, quickly. Does whatever system you're using for your gray water,
uh-huh.
as far as disposal goes, does it have an approval from DEM?
I'm sorry, I
does
can't.
Does it have an approval from DEM?
They all were approved when we had to put them in about
yeah.
3 or 4 years ago.
It does. Okay.
They have the community one. They have
yep,
a lot.
They were all approved
okay,
back then. Yep. We had to get
right.
a permit from here to
right.
attach all that, so that was all done.
So they were all systematic?
Yep, correct. Everybody, correct.
Yeah,
well, no, it all came in, I think it all came in different time, but there's a certain time frame that we had to have that all, that gray water attached, and we had to get the plumbing permit from here and everything to do that.
I don't need it. Yeah, I think the only issue now is some of our still gray water, as far as wells, and some of them are on
town water.
Town water.
Yeah,
yeah,
I knew that.
And it's the first two
on.
Rows,
right.
the new rows are town water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve it as
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. So you'll get a written approval from this committee. It will come from me. So
okay.
you'll get I try and email them out by the end of the week so you
wonderful.
Have something and you're not waiting, and then you'll get the original in the mail afterwards.
Okay, and then I give that to my builder to come in for the building permits.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Have a nice day.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh.
All right, next on our agenda, we have development plan review for Flood Mazda. This is proposed construction of two additions to an existing structure, one with a proposed area of 1,900 square feet, measuring 25 by 76, and one with a proposed area of 2,064 square feet, measuring 24 feet by 86, located at 220 Old Tower Hill Road, AP 57-2, Lot 65. Flood Mazda is our applicant. Michael Flood is our owner. Hello, everyone.
Good morning. I want to apologize, Mr. Flood is not feeling too well this morning, so he didn't want to come and get all you folks sick, so...
Well, we appreciate that.
Obviously, I'm here on his behalf. I'm Russell Cunha, the general manager.
We had dropped off additional plans yesterday.
Yes, and I have them.
Okay.
They have not been dispersed, but I do have them, and I'm assuming the change was just that back circulation part we had talked
Correct.
About?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So for the committee members around the table, the site plan you have, the engineers revised to have a little bit more detail in the back with traffic flow. So I have copies of that. I'll pass around to you all, but that is the change you'll see in this new plan.
And can you send a digital of that new plan?
Yes, I can, I think.
Can I do that, Mike?
Send two down.
Thank you. Mike Fontaine is the surveyor, so.
All right, so if you gentlemen would just state your name for a record, we'll start there.
Brian McGrath.
Russell Cunha.
Kyle Lloyd.
Craig Carrigan. Changes that we made since the last TRC meeting dealt with the 5-foot planter aisle or planting in front of the front addition. Delineation of the existing landscaping on site, the trees, the circulation pattern. We also added the adjacent buildings on site for Wakefield Mall, People's Credit Union, McDonald's, added a few notes concerning ownership. The one thing we were unable to get was the deed book and page for the Narragansett electric easement. It apparently predates 1934, and my survey was not able to find that particular reference. We made minor changes to notes, and that was basically everything that you'd asked for, as well as the sewer and water lateral locations. Perfectly happy to answer any questions that you may have. I think we've addressed every concern that the TRC had at the previous hearing.
Where are you locating the trees on the map?
The existing tree locations are here in the island, and there's a 5-foot landscape planter shown now in front of the proposed front addition. There's no specification as to what it's going to be. I can tell you, having dealt with Flint Ford over in Narragansett, that Mr. Flood is extremely landscape happy.
Yes,
so,
he is.
He likes to make it pretty.
Put a condition on the approval that whatever landscaping goes in meets the requirements of the subdivision regulations, which are pretty easy.
Broad.
Yes, they are, right? It's like a percentage per linear feet or something. That's
yeah,
right.
The number of shrubs per so many feet. So.
It will be well in excess of that. I just recall this going on previously at the Ford dealership.
Other questions, comments around the table on this?
Just one quick thing. If you could just provide us a sewer understanding of what increases would be associated with the
no increase, but I can give you something.
It's based on what I ask is that either based on square footage or whatever number of employees, however you want to do it. But you could also look at your existing sewer use and prorate it, and just give us an understanding of what the increase is, and then we can just run it through our process.
Okay.
Prove it accordingly. I'm sure it's a very modest increase, whatever it is. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because if you're not increasing sales staff, it really wouldn't go up. But we'll look at both. If you could provide both, one it says based on, DEM is like sort of based on staffing, and then one that's just based on actual use, what your present use is.
That can be a condition, not a problem.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think we would condition it. Do you say something that we would want before a building permit? Is that?
Yeah, just an approval. Yeah, an approval approval of sewer uses.
How would we go about getting that?
It really isn't a big deal. It's more of a dotting an I for us.
Right. How would we go about getting that?
Well, I think that your engineer can provide
that. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I would just say that since part of this is based on a previous DRC meeting that I didn't attend, I'm just going to abstain from voting either way.
Okay. Anything else on this one? Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstaining?
All abstaining.
Thank you, gentlemen. On our agenda, we have development plan review for marijuana-related uses. This is an application from NICE LLC. It's a request to develop a marijuana cultivation facility within an existing structure located at AP 22-1, lot 38-10. NICE LLC is our owner and applicant. We just start by saying your name for our record.
Mary Banfield.
Lester Nunes.
How are you both doing today?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
All right. If you'd like, you want to just give us an overview of what you're proposing to do. It's a brief starting point, and then we'll just go into questions.
We are going to put a marijuana cultivation facility within an existing building, and the building is located at 36 Frank Avenue. It's unit B3 of the Kingston Station Commercial Condominium Association, and we have addressed the issues of the security cameras and the dumpsters and the other issues that were addressed from the checklist for the exterior of the building to meet the requirements.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you is whether or not you all had gotten the approval of the wastewater. I know that you had submitted an analysis and everything to John Chalk when you were putting the application together right last summer. Did we receive like a confirmation of his approval of that yet, or is that something we still need to get taken care of?
Well, I brought a copy of the email
to see, yeah.
Because we were the first,
right?
And it was so unfamiliar with everybody, the process it was being established. So I made a copy. I print out of the emails back and forth from John Cha to Chelsea. And he, in the end, stated that he would send it, that we were to send it to you, which we did. And that was it.
Yeah, okay. So we have it all on our end. Basically, my hope is that I want to confirm with John that we have sort of a letter on file from him and that he has given an approval to it, because I know you all were working through putting together the analysis and everything for him, right? And so I didn't know where we had left that in my memory, so.
We can just talk to John.
Yeah, we'll just talk to John on that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the email that he said that he would appreciate it if we sent it to you, because we did have the analysis report, and I don't think he really, the process hadn't been developed, and right. And he told us to send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just confirm that he's satisfied. It was just so long ago, right? That none of us really remember.
Right. I have the analysis right here. So I know that we do have it. I just want to make sure we get you guys the official sign off from John.
Okay.
So Chelsea, I think I lost the bubble a little as far as what the zoning regulations, changes to the zoning regulations, recommendations to the town council, distances. Can you just give me a really brief where we stand? And is this currently approved by the zoning regs?
Yeah, so the zoning amendment was requested, was approved by the town council to remove the buffer requirement in the industrial one.
Okay.
So there's no distance separation.
So as long as they're in the industrial one, they're
in West Kingston.
Okay, yes.
Good.
I found the email, and it was June 2nd. He sent it, said, Mary, I spoke with Chelsea Sippard, Director of Planning. Subsequent to your email this morning, Ms. Sippard indicated that all documentation, including wastewater data information, that is required for the development must be submitted through the planning department and not this office. As such, kindly reach out to Ms. Sippard to ensure that you have submitted all necessary documentation about the town development plan review application.
So that sounds like it was submitted. It does not sound like John has reviewed it and said it's okay. So we'll
do that in between. So what will happen review process-wise is you're having your meeting with the TRC now, but it's actually the full planning board who conducts this type of development plan review. So the application, will move it along to their agenda.
Okay.
In between then, we'll get this to John and get a written confirmation, or get his, you know, work with him and you all to get that to where it needs to be for that meeting.
Okay. The other thing that we did was we had an inspection by the fire marshal, and he said that he was going to be sending a letter to you that everything was okay.
I will confirm for you whether or not we have that in the file.
Okay. He just did this yesterday morning.
Oh, okay.
Well, he said that he sent it. He emailed me to tell me that because he was originally going to come to the meeting,
mm-hmm.
and something came up and he couldn't come. So okay. He said he was going to send a letter to you.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. So I'll be on the lookout for that.
All right.
With regard to your tree plantings, your arborist is going to need to check out the planting specs for the town planting specs that are in the subdivision regulations, and that's for planting and mulching. And also, with your floodlights there, you probably have to check with DigSafe, right, before you make those plantings?
No, they're already there. They're existing.
Right, but if you're going to be planting trees and digging holes, you probably have
to... Oh, for the lines.
You know, yeah, just to... They'll mark on right on the land with a spray can where the lights are, where the wires are, in other words.
Right.
So you don't dig into the wires.
Actually, it's been so long. It's been a year, and the white pine, I don't even think we're going to need...
Oh, these tree plantings are already there?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's in the chart up above. It says... The legend?
Right. I thought those were proposed plantings.
No,
okay,
the only
great.
Thing that's proposed...
Oh, okay, fine. Forget everything I just said.
You're
okay.
Just inside the building, right? You're not doing anything on the outside of the building. You're
no.
Basically inside the building.
No, and we're proposing to plant some arborvitae next to the road, because there's already an existing vegetative screen that's here, and just to fill in the holes.
So the paved parking, is it dedicated parking, or is it just that you
no,
get five spaces?
No, it's not dedicated. But
how'd you come up with the number of five?
Because that's in front of our unit.
Okay.
And that's how many. Where did I get that?
Is there anything in the unit condominium that says you get this many parking, or is there any? There's no dedication or identification.
In the.
Bylaws.
Declaration and the bylaws. There's a three.
Lease,
there's three, and two, one's a handicap.
But that's identified, that goes with that unit?
That with each unit.
Each unit gets three spaces?
Yes. In the declaration, in the bylaws.
Does that match the parking requirement, sir?
I don't know what the parking requirement is. Do you know what the parking requirement is?
I mean, it's already a pre-existing building. It would have fallen under the previous regulations, so we're not adding any additional square footage.
We only have three cars. We have three cars at maximum.
Looking at a parking requirement.
I just think that maybe depending on the use may influence the number of parking places, not just the size of the building, but...
What do we classify this use as?
For parking? I was just thinking that. I don't know.
All right, I'm looking at it. If we use like a manufacturing level, it'd be one space for every two employees on the
minimum.
Yeah, so they could just show that in part of the application, how many parking places are dedicated to your use and how many parking places you need, which would be based on the number of employees, which sounds like the three is more than enough. If you could just point that out.
That comes back to me because there were so many things, but that's what comes back to me, that we have more than enough spaces for the number of people who are going to be.
All right. I'm sure they'll probably be asked that question at the planning board, so if you just have some information that shows that you have enough.
I think we take a motion to recommend this application move forward to the planning board.
Motion.
I got one? I got a second.
Second.
All right. Wonderful.
Good luck.
Thank you. Are you the new zoning official?
All in favor?
Nice. All in favor?
Hello.
There we go.
Thank you. This is less than a minute.
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next on our agenda, we have an advisory review on a combined conceptual master plan and preliminary plan major subdivision entitled Lewis Estates. This is a proposed 5-lot subdivision with street extension and waivers requested for the provision of less than the required frontage. Lots are proposed with individual on-site wastewater treatment systems and individual wells. AP 41, Lot 3, located at 461 Broad Rock Road. Eric Bell is our applicant. Main Street Capital LLC is our owner.
What is this?
Good morning, everyone. You all would start by just saying your name for our
My name is James Traglia. I'm from Principal Engineering.
Eric Bell.
Scott Palmer.
So the project name is Lewis Estates. It's on 461 Broad Rock Road. It's approximately 5.78 acres, and it's a zoning R40. It's located on the east side of Broad Rock Road, north of Broad Rock Middle School, and south of Lewis Lane, and there are no wetlands on site. The project was heard at pre-application by the planning board in March of this year, and the planning board approved combining a master plan and a preliminary plan, the phases for the project. We're currently seeking approval for the combined master and preliminary plan with a waiver for flexible frontage. On sheet 3, the yield plan shows the proposed subdivision density for 5 buildable residential lots, and each conforming to zoning with a 40-foot wide frontage, or sorry, with a 40-foot wide, 700-foot long right-of-way along the south and westerly property border. And we are proposing on sheet 4 a subdivision with flexible frontage with 5 lots and the existing private right-of-way at the north of the property leading to Lewis Lane, which will be platted separately. It's indicated as 3F. And lot 3A and 3B both have the acceptable frontage, 150 feet, but lot 3C, 3D, and 3E all will not. The driveway for 3A will be off of Broad Rock Road. The driveway for 3B will be off Lewis Lane. And then the other three lots, 3D, or 3C, 3D, and 3E, will all share a common gravel driveway utilizing the one that is at the east of the property that currently services lot 4 and lot 5. Each lot will have individual on-site wastewater treatment systems and individual wells, and the fire chief has given us approval with the stipulation that a hydrant be put in place at the intersection of Broad Rock Road and Lewis Lane.
Can I interject?
Sure.
I spoke with Bob yesterday and clarified. I spoke with Bob Emmett yesterday concerning that, and he was okay with the hydrant being on the opposite side of the road. The water line is on the west side of the road, as opposed to running across the street.
So my only question on this is relative to Lewis Lane, the platted portion. Right now, per the approval for Broad Rock Estates, which is the Habitat, is on the hook to maintain that portion. Mm-hmm. So is it your intent that the new sort of platted portion would be owned in common by the 5 lots, and then they take over maintenance of that from Habitat, or?
I spoke, I forget his name now, the gentleman from Habitat,
okay.
And he said that we would share in the maintenance to gravel road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we would need some sort of maintenance agreement
Okay.
At the time of recording to say, you know, who's going to do what and what intervals and who's.
Yeah, because I think now they do it all.
They do the whole thing, yeah.
He's at the Restore up in Charleston, second floor there.
That's where their office is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the width on lot 3E of the allowable building area envelope across the width there?
I'm sorry, the width where?
Across on lot 3E.
Yep.
The allowable building envelope, the width across that.
I'm not sure on that.
And there's no provisions for turnaround on the gravel drive on the private road?
There are none.
You say this is a heavily wooded lot. What percentage of the canopy cover is going to be removed?
I am not sure.
Will this come before the CONCON?
Yes.
I would love to know that at the CONCON meeting.
Sure.
I believe it will, and the reason for that is because it's coming through as a major because of the flexible frontage provision, and at conceptual master plan, you have to solicit comments from the agencies and organizations listed for CMP and statute, one of them is CONCON.
Okay. And if we could also see on that plan where the existing canopy cover is going to remain, that could just be shown a sheet for that.
Okay.
So you are in the future, I think we've talked about this before, you are in the future sewer service area at this time. to submit a sewer feasibility study. We don't want to do sewer. Now, I know we were just talking about this. We know that there's a sewer line that goes up Broad Rock Middle property. I don't know if it was ever discussed with John Schock as to whether you could connect to it.
I did have that conversation.
And what did he say?
He said no.
He said you cannot connect to that.
You want to do that on Broad Rock?
Yeah.
I didn't ask about Broad Rock. I just, when I was told no on that,
no.
You see cross prohibited with the septic room. Okay. And there are septics beside already.
So,
you see the feasibility.
The feasibility study.
I think as part of the flexible design, you have to show that it's in the best interest of the town as far as the comprehensive plan goes, correct?
The flexible frontage, they have to show that it is in good planning practice. Not that it's necessarily consistent with the comprehensive plan, but that it makes more sense to have the reduced frontage than to put in extra pavement.
Okay.
For the road. That's the balance for flexible design. Flexible frontage.
So I think that's something you're going to have to address at the planning board and specifically call out why.
Okay.
Right, so the question really is, for the planning board, I think staff would support flexible frontage here, is that if you put in the new right-of-way, you would be putting in basically all of that extra roadway and have to manage the stormwater, whereas this proposal uses what's there, what's existing. So you maybe just have to make the case that it's better for the environment, it's better for the town if you don't put in that extra area.
Sure.
On sheet 4, lot 3C, that buildable area, is that like an error?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's shown?
Yep, and is it the setback line that proceeds,
yeah,
crosses over the property
the
line? Yep, and we actually have one copy of a revised plan to fix that came in after
right.
We caught that error.
The revised plan, which I'm looking at now, also has the setbacks shown correctly. So, like, if you look at 3D and 3E, the setback lines, the rear setback for, like, 3E is on the southern property line because it is always the opposite. So the plan that I have corrects all that, too.
Lot 3F, that private right-of-way, that'll also go over to the existing lots, the habitat. As well.
Yeah, they use that now to access, but it's just an easement on the property. So
okay.
They've proposed to plat the easement area.
Okay.
Other thoughts or questions around the table?
Should also just say that Lot 4, 1841 Lot 4, which is Sharon Wiley, bottom corner, she will still access through the easement, which is shown. So when you record, you'll have to record the new access easement for that property. There'd be three in favor of Wiley's property, and then two in favor of E, and one in favor of D. Sort of triple down. Do you intend to keep the stone wall?
Do we have a second?
Second.
Don't forget to. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I know I expect you to be in uniform now.
Yes.
I'm going Last but not least. Okay, up next on our agenda, we have an advisory review for another combined master plan and preliminary plan major subdivision. This is the Moran subdivision, a proposed three-lot subdivision with waivers requested for the provision of less than the required frontage, AP 63-2, Lot 1, located at 16 Edgewood Farm Road. Bonnie Moran is our owner and applicant. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
If you would kindly state your names for a record.
Bonnie Moran.
Michael Fontaine.
And then if you just start, I guess, with an overview of what you are proposing to do, and then we'll go into questions.
I own almost 6 acres in town, and I just want to extract my house from these acres because it's too much work for me. And if they're cleared acres, they're fields. It turned out to be a major subdivision because of the variance. And I just want to sell. I'm not developing the land. I'm not developing houses. I'm just selling off the land. And what I'm proposing on those two lots are septic and wells.
And I know you have the letter from Suez Water.
Yes.
Right, describing that water is not available.
It's not available.
And the water service for your existing house, I know you and I have spoken about this.
Yes.
Comes through intervening properties and does connect to Suez Water now, right?
Right. That's correct.
And so, basically, I'm assuming that your lot is going to stay in its configuration as current. You're not going to be putting in a well to replace that existing connection, right? So it's going to develop a well on Slope B.
Correct.
Okay. And you've also submitted a sewer feasibility study to the Department of Public Services.
I have.
Correct?
Did
you see that?
Oh, I didn't know that was submitted.
No, I guess I just submitted to your office.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So now...
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, good. I was just going to ask for that, so...
Okay.
We'll take a look.
And you propose to continue your access over the easement?
Yes.
And we're going to pull up... So I see that... So from pre-app until where we are today, we talked about the extension of your paved driveway that goes out to your outbuilding being removed to propose Lot B, right where the pavement extends. I see that has been changed and noted to be removed. I'm curious, then this is actually more of a question around the table to people who are a little more experienced with limits of disturbance than I am. Removing that pavement and replacing it, do we need sort of soil erosion sediment control protection for that area? Rich, I guess I'm looking at you on that.
Well, I mean, if it exceeds 1,000 square feet and all of that, but
I mean, would we need it at this point in time, or would we need it at the point in time when we start to develop the lots?
No, not at this point in time.
Yeah, not at this point in time.
When you go to do the development, exactly. You know, whenever you start to move work around, that's when you need that. It'll be part of whatever.
The question would be, I guess, so the planning board wants them to take this piece off so that this lot doesn't have access through here. So do we want that to happen prior to recording? And if it does happen prior to recording, do they need a soil erosion sediment control permit just to pull that up?
Right. If this is going to come out, right, if the construction is to happen prior to recording, then yes, we need to do that. But when the construction is about to happen, we file the soil erosion control permit application. As long as it exceeds 1,000 square feet, which it looks like it might.
Mm-hmm. Is that what, did it seem like they wanted it to be done before, prior to recording, or do you have a sense of that?
I do, and I think it was that right. We wanted it to be done prior to recording. I think the concern was that if it's left there, mm-hmm. It implies that there is an access to that property when you're selling the lot.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and that if we remove it, then it makes it clear that that lot mm-hmm. will be expected to put in its own driveway and would remove that.
Okay.
If you would prefer, I guess what I would say is this will go to the planning board for a decision, right? So you're here to
yes.
get a sort of lead into that.
Yeah.
If you would prefer to not go forward in that way and you would prefer to tie it into when development is actually happening, right, when that lot is sold, et cetera. That would be a conversation you could have with the full planning board to see if they would be willing to consider that change.
Okay.
But I think as we sit now, the understanding is it would be done prior to recording. If you want to DP it, talk to the planning board about that, see if there's some compromise.
The planning board, did they discuss putting a limitation on the frontage for the existing house lot to have no further access on that piece of frontage?
Oh, for basically for the lot with the house right
with
now
the house
to
right
only access through
to
the
say
easement?
You cannot access from your frontage, you must access from the easement.
I don't think that we've discussed that.
They might bring that up. They've done that in the past with some other of this type,
okay,
where they say you have access to the easement. We're going to put a limitation that says you cannot put another driveway on that piece of your frontage. You have to use the easement.
Okay.
So if, I would be prepared to address that if that's something that's of concern to you, because they may do it.
Okay.
They may also want you to have a shared access between the other two lots. Again, if that's something you want or don't want, just be prepared to discuss
right
it with the planning board.
Okay.
So just the typical things we hear out of their mouths.
Okay. But you should be prepared.
Ready.
It is.
Who was the question?
No, I was just mentioning one of those. I know Todd.
Oh.
Someone's popped
up. Anything else on this one?
Where's the existing outbuilding?
What is it?
Yeah.
It's a barn.
It's a barn right there, yeah.
Is that going to stay for now? Or is that supposed to be a road?
It can. I mean, it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to go down because of the subdivision, right?
I mean, technically, but I mean, it's principal use, accessory, it's an accessory use.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a barn,
use,
the accessory, if it was subdivided, it would be a principal use of farm.
A barn.
Right? So, I mean, technically.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to what you're going to do with it and if it was going to remain for now until it's developed. All right.
You don't have a plan to move it onto your property, you're just going to take it.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore.
All right.
And the stone walls, that will also, I'm sure the planning board will ask me about your plans for that stone wall that sort of bisects the southern lot, if there's a plan to maintain it or try not to disturb it. Probably ask for
that. So utilities, electric, is there a utility pole on your property? Is that how it's?
Yeah, there's a utility pole down.
Yeah.
It runs down. Between where the two new lots are.
Does it go underground to that point?
Hmm?
Does it go underground?
No.
No.
It's coming down. It comes down the...
Oh, so I see it near the stone wall.
Yeah. It comes down...
Right along beside the stone wall. It cuts in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then runs down on the... right across your property line, it looks.
Exactly.
Okay,
yep.
Comes
yep.
down this way. Wow.
Yep.
That's a long way.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Other questions, or are we all set on this one?
Yeah, this seems pretty straightforward to me.
Okay, motion to move this forward to the planning board.
So moved.
Second.
I'm going to give it to Joe. You had a few. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, actually, there's one more thought. Because this is technically coming through our major subdivision process due to the request for reduced frontage, there will be a series of, actually the Conservation Commission basically is going to need to do an advisory review of this. So be aware that we'll be scheduling an advisory review by the Conservation Commission.
It's the same for the last one too.
Yeah. And it's a function of a major subdivision by state statute needs to get advisory opinions from certain agencies, et cetera. And so we take care of the outreach to specific agencies, the one meeting for a town committee that you end up triggering there ends up being the Conservation Commission. So we'll send you the date of that meeting. Their meeting is scheduled for the first Wednesday of October.
Okay.
So we will anticipate to get you on that agenda for them.
Okay, good, yeah.
Okay.
Move this forward, yeah. What will they be asking? It's just...
They'll be asking about the septic, primarily, and I guess any other land disturbance that may occur from that, and again, probably the stone walls as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I won't be there, but I'm the chair, but I won't be there in that particular meeting, but that's the kind of thing that's going to come up.
Okay.
And our person who focuses on septic gets pretty detailed, and so just the more information you can have on how it's treated and the soils.
But in this case, they're not going to have that yet.
No, they don't have that for this.
Oh, okay.
I mean, subdivision is not a development proposal, so they won't have a septic design or approval or anything.
Okay.
They'll have the test pit data.
We got the soil data.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just enough evidence to show that it could be put
there. Could be.
Absolutely. Yep.
Sure.
So I would hope that Lorraine's review wouldn't be as detailed because we won't have all
right. Good.
Good.
I mean, they may ask some questions on the existing lot, but you have, is this the septic over here?
Yep. Yeah, it comes out and then comes over.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it, right?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adjourned.